Hi, my name is Lindy and I've been a long-term Grow program worker in Northern Victoria. This podcast is the first in a series called Stronger Than You Think. In it, I interview Paul, who has been in Grow for about 7 years. As a teenager, Paul's mum asked what he wanted to be when he left school. He was surprised to hear himself say, an eccentric. Fitting in never came easily to Paul. For much of his life, he has felt profoundly alienated from relationships and community and from himself. Key to Paul's journey of finding himself and learning to connect meaningfully with others has been his work as a street performer in the character of Tubby the Robot. If you Google Happy Android, you'll find the trailer for an award-winning documentary about Tubby and Paul. Fortunately, Paul also found in Grow a place to nurture long-term authentic relationships. In Grow Victaz, we know and love Paul as Paul, a gentle builder of a free and whole community. This part of my conversation with Paul explores the theme Discovering That I Belong, and begins with Paul describing his journey into Grow.
It's been like a lifeline or like a rock for me, more like something that was solid, something that I could depend on, because the program is there. The words don't change, although my understanding of them might change. It's like going to a familiar place and seeing new depth in it. The weeks and months go by. I contribute a lot these days because it's one of the most helpful things. It's written down in the book that to help yourself, help others. It was a really radical idea that I couldn't have accepted earlier on, but I came to see that it was true, that I did get benefit from other people being generous and giving to me. It was really an unfamiliar feeling, and I thought I wanted to return what was offered me, and it helped a lot. So I've just continued to do that. I needed discipline. I've had a very unstructured life. I'm studying now, really, for the first time in my life. Like, I couldn't study outside of school, but these days I'm studying and learning to do new things.
Within Grow.
Because of my engagement with the program, I contribute a lot. I encourage other people. I'm generous. All things that I couldn't do in the world that I've learned to do in Grow and translated those out into the world. Like, I'm a better father and a better friend now to the people that are near me. I'm actively practicing being kind of friendly and courteous. I realised in my 50s that being aloof and distant, it doesn't really help with having friends and easy associations. I was so preoccupied with my suffering that it came out of me virtually continuously, like it repelled people. And it's not surprising to me now that I was alone, but didn't understand earlier why I was so alone. It's because I pushed people away.
So you're growing some friendships in Grow, and what's that like?
I know, it's hard to describe. It's great. Everyone's interesting, really, when you get close to them. Everyone has a story. In Grow, people tell their story, so they let you in. In the normal world, as we sometimes refer to it, I think it's really commonplace for people just to keep their hidden parts hidden. But in Grow, we work at building trust. We share deeply with each other. Certainly there are things that I haven't said and that maybe I'll never say, but I've spoken more honestly about myself in that environment than anywhere else, and I've listened. I mean, I spend most of my time listening because I'm one person in a group, and even though I might do more than my share of the talking, but I do spend the vast majority of my time listening, and like everyone is interesting if they will tell you their story. The notion that we're a connecting link between people was really powerful to me. Outside of the circle of families, I think in the community, there's the kind of finding your tribe, finding the people with whom there's a keen resonance. And so I've found a bunch of people in Grow that have grown to be close friends.
We talked about alienation earlier in our conversation, and it's come right around to exploring what it means to be a connecting link.
To belong to something, you know, to belong to a community. It's kind of intangible. I was traveling in South Australia for work. I had almost a month's work on the road, and I remember sharing with my Grow group and going, oh, I don't know how I'm going to go without Grow. And they guess, well, go to a Grow group in South Australia. And I went, oh, yeah. And so I went along to one, and though I hadn't met anyone in the room, I could recognize them. They were using the same program, understood them. They felt like family, or they felt familiar.
So if we had listeners today, Paul, that just feel entirely alienated and like they don't belong anywhere, and maybe they see themselves also as a bit wacky or not fitting in, what is the hope about moving through that and towards some deeper sense of belonging? Because I listen to people like yourself, you've suffered some pretty deep depths of alienation, even though you've had family all your life that clearly there's still connection with, and then over time you've clearly managed to build some really meaningful friendships as well. Some people would feel like they don't even have that. They don't have connection with family. They don't have a single person they could call a friend or call up and trust that they're going to be able to feel understood or known and seen. How do we even begin to address that depth of alienation as adults? It's harder as adults to make friends and to find points of connection. Where do we begin?
Wow, it really is a process. It can be surprising when someone is friendly. It's easy as a, you know, frightened, alienated person even not to trust that, just going, oh, that's wrong. They're being friendly, that's wrong. Because it's basically, for many people, a lifetime of believing something that isn't true and not believing something that's true. There's no way to transform instantly. Grow, help me with discipline, with my thinking, and helping me to do difficult things that I've avoided my whole life. So it's a long, slow process. But first, you've got to see a glimmer and just take a step that way and then believe in that even when you can't see it and keep walking that way. And they become more frequent and it's become something that I can trust. Like I really didn't have hope really until maybe about 3 years ago. Things had at that point been getting steadily harder for 7 or 8 years and I was really frightened. I just imagined that that spiral would continue. So it took a long time to slow that spin and kind of reach a steady place. So many of the choices I made were to step away from, to remove myself from, to create distance, to try and find safety. But safety really comes, while part of it's sort of like held within, part of it, a really fundamental part of being balanced internally, is to be connected and feel like you belong to something that makes sense and satisfies a basic herd animal kind of need to be with and around and for other people. I was entirely self-centered, and I've met heaps of people like me who have been very self-centered and just really preoccupied with their problem and don't see the truth on account of that, an obsession with an idea that I'm wrong or the world's wrong. So it's a long, slow walk. But I think looking back now, I'm just glad I started on that path when I did. And it is long and slow, but it kind of probably needs to be like that. I mean, I spent a long time digging a hole to climb into. So it's taking a long time to make structures I can depend on, the connections with other people and the discipline that's necessary to have control and freedom.
We've heard a lot about that need for meaningful connection with other people. Do you think part of the overcoming alienation journey has been about finding an attitude of self-compassion towards yourself and a more meaningful way of connecting with you?
Yeah, definitely. I really hated myself as a kid. I had terrible thoughts. And over the years, I felt very down on myself, very, very critical. So I gradually learned to accept myself as I am, sort of like warts and all. And certainly being able to speak really frankly with understanding people has helped me incredibly. Like I know to people that I can trust. It's not always necessarily the people that are near you, even the people that love you, that are most able to help you. Sometimes they're not the people who can be most help. I think it's people who can understand how dark and scary it can be, who make it possible to accept that darkness and scariness. And so once there's a degree of acceptance, then there's also a degree of freedom from those things, you know, and then the capacity to challenge and reframe them. Like I said earlier on, how I had identified myself as being sick. I claimed that as a label. And that really suited me at the time. But as time goes by, you know, I've transformed and reframed that. I don't see myself as sick now. I think I had a very rocky start and a lot of my reactiveness and my difficulty makes perfect sense now. So there's a sense to all the pain and the suffering, and there's a sense to all the steps that I've taken. And so that sense is what I extrapolate forward and go, well, I have to keep traveling that way. I need to keep taking those steps. I need to see myself as I see myself now, but also stand aside and look at myself and actually challenge my thinking or identify layer by layer the wrong thinking that has caused a life of difficulty. So I just think that's a walk that I'll be on until the day that I drop. But I have hope now and confidence for the future. I really think the hardest bit is behind me, that I've done the tough yards. I need to keep working. I'm not frightened by that. I don't ever expect to be completely resolved. I just think that's an awareness of suffering and the falling in the mud is part of a life, any life. And sometimes you just have to get up and dust yourself off and keep going.
and know that you're worth it.
Yeah, I do feel like now that I have a function, that suffering has a function in the culture, and that people who can show or represent that help other people who aren't able to speak about it, who aren't able even to admit it, to kind of to know and see or show that part of themselves, because it's completely universal experience. Everyone suffers. Some people just don't show it. And I kind of feel in a strange way lucky, and that my life and my difficulty has purpose for me. I'm useful to other people now.